We're glad to have Brother Gary Gilmore with us as our evangelist, and he's going to give God's message to us.
Amen. Thanks, Brother. All right, well, thank you very much. Good to be here. Good to hear my favorite duet. That was great. And I just appreciate their testimony, their lives, and it's a joy to be here. Kind of feel like I'm home in many ways, so it's a blessing. All right, well, let's take our Bibles, if you will, to Revelation chapter 21. So I'm going to start in the book of Revelation and go to Genesis from here, okay? So Revelation chapter 21 in your Bible, if you will. That's almost the last chapter in the Word of God, Revelation 21. And we're going to look at Revelation 21, verse number 8, please, in your Bible. Revelation 21, verse number 8. And so let's look at that and give some thought to it this morning. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All right, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. I pray, dear Lord, to help the word of God to penetrate. I pray that it'll be powerful in people's lives. I pray that it'll be that which will prick hearts. And Lord, just help people to see their need of Christ. And if they're not saved, I pray they'd want to be. And Lord, I pray you just help us who are saved to be so grateful that we are. And we'll thank you and give you the praise for it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I've been in the ministry now, I guess it's at least 50 years, over 50 years. And, you know, I oftentimes think of people ask me questions. You know, they'll say, what was this was outstanding thing in your life or whatever. And so I'll give an answer. But, you know, if you were to ask me, okay, I'll give you a question you want to ask me. And that question is this, what was the greatest service that you were ever a part of? The greatest service I was ever a part of. And you know, I would say that the greatest service I was ever a part of was a service in Pennsylvania when we had the privilege of starting a church. And we had built a building, and we had an evangelist come in to our church by the name of Jim Mercer. And he was a great friend and a great man of God. And he came in, and we were going to have a revival meeting. And he was going to preach for the first Sunday of that revival meeting. And the first time we'd had any services in the church and that we just built. And so we had a crowd of people there. I mean, it was just a great crowd of people. People had brought their relatives and friends and so forth for the last, you know, the beginning of building. And so I didn't know what Brother Mercer was going to be speaking on that morning. And he got up and he said, I'm going to preach on hell this morning. And, you know, I just kind of was a little taken back by that in a way. I thought, boy, he's got a lot of courage. He's got a lot of boldness, you know. Sunday morning, preach on hell, first service in a new building, and all these people there. And so I said, okay, that's great. You know, in my heart, I'm saying this. And, you know, it was the greatest single service I could ever recall. I think we had 20 folks come down the aisle to get saved that particular Sunday morning. What a way to start a church, amen? I mean, that was such a blessing. I'll never forget that. And so every Sunday morning now and then, you know, over the years since that time, I've preached in memory of that great service, a message on hell on Sunday morning. So I'm going to do that this morning in memory of that great service. You forgive me if I'm just kind of reminiscent here, getting a little sentimental. But it was a great service, and I just I said, well, you know, Lord, maybe preaching on hell Sunday morning is what needs to take place. And I'm going to do that this morning. And by the grace of God, and so I trust the Lord will use it. I pray that we could have 20 folks get saved this morning. That would be great. Even if we had one get saved, that would be great. So That's what we're going to do. And we're going to preach that message on hell from the Word of God. This right here, Revelation 21 and verse number 8. You know, what we find here in verse number 8 is the who's who of hell. Who's going to be the people in hell? Who's who of hell? You know, when I was going to Bible college, we had what we called the who's who of college and universities. I don't know if they still have that going in college and universities now or not, but, you know, I went to school back before the flood, and so, you know, they may have done away with that. But back in that, my day, they had the who's who, and it was a real honor to be a part of the who's who of colleges and universities. I mean, you were an excellent student, you had a good attitude, and so forth, and you know, you were well respected and liked, and so it was a real honor to be a part of that. But here's a who's who that no one would really ever want to be part of. It is the most dishonoring group that you could ever be a part of. And so I want to look at this, the who's who of hell. Now keep this in mind as we look at the people that are going to be in hell. Keep this in mind that this is not what God wants for anybody. God does not want anybody to be in hell. Matthew 25, verse 41, the Bible says, "Then shall he say to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." God never prepared the hell for you, for any human being. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. If you go to hell, you know, you're going to break God's heart. If you go to hell, you know, it's not going to be God's fault. Someone says, how could a God of love ever send anybody to hell? God doesn't send people to hell. People that go to hell choose to go there. If you go to hell, it's going to be because you chose to go there, not because God sent you there. See, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can have heaven instead of hell. In fact, if you read Revelation chapter 21, the first seven verses there are all about the glories of heaven. You know, it's all about God trying to give you a taste to go to heaven. Notice it says there, I saw a new heaven, new earth, and the first heaven, the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And it goes on to describe, it's a place of verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death there, nor crying, nor sorrow, nor pain. And so God goes on to describe all the glories of heaven and to try to give you an interest, to give you a taste for heaven, desire to go there. And then he says, you know, because it's not his will. Then he says, but you know, there are some people that are just not going to want to. They're going to be people that, you know, God doesn't force anybody to go to heaven. And so he says, there are going to be people that are going to choose to go to hell. And he gives us that crowd of people, verse number 8. He gives us that crowd of people. So I want us to look and see who are the people that are going to be in hell. I hope this isn't going to be describing you. It doesn't have to be describing you because you can get saved. Jesus died for you. He went to the cross. He took your sin. He rose to the dead. He's alive. And he's knocking at your heart's door this very day. He wants to come in and be your Savior. See? And so he's knocking at your heart's door. And if you'll just swing the door of your heart open to him, he will save you. And you'll never be a part of the who's who of hell. You'll be a part of the who's who of heaven for all eternity. So let's see who are they going to be the people in hell. First of all, the Bible says the fearing people, but the fearful, verse number 8. Did you see that? But the fearful. Now, who are the fearful here? What are we talking about? Are we just talking about people that are afraid of the boogeyman, or and that's going to put them in hell? Or what is this describing? The fearful here. This is describing people who are fearful of getting saved, fearful of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice with me who they are not. They are not people who have never heard the gospel. These are not people who have never heard about Jesus dying on the cross for them. They're not people like that. They're not people who want to go to hell. They are not people like that. Who are these people? These fearful people. You know, I have met some people that never heard about Jesus dying for them. You know, America is getting so away from the Bible. We're becoming a heathen nation. And I tell you what, my pastor said in Bible school, their kids that come to Bible school, they've never heard of Jesus. You know, can you imagine that here in America? But that shows you how far we're getting away from the Word of God. And we used to have in the schools, and people used to, have the Bible read. And there are lots of people who never even heard of Jesus in our country. I remember I was sitting on a plane beside a plane, a lady in a plane one day, as out and heading for the West. And I saw this lady, and I said, have you ever heard of Calvary? And she had never heard of Calvary, you know. She didn't know what I was talking about, you know. And so I had the privilege to explain to her Calvary, where Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins and so forth. But she had never heard it. Now, that's not these people. The fearing here are not people who have never heard about Jesus Christ. They've never heard that, he died for them. They've never heard that he rose again. They've never heard that. These are not these kind of people. These fearing people are not these kind of people. Who are these kind of people then? They are people who've heard about Jesus dying for them. They've been witnessed to. Maybe someone's witnessed to them, told them about the Lord. Maybe they've come to church and heard the preaching of the gospel. They've heard the message preached and so forth. They have heard this message. They are people that, sit in services and they hear the message of the gospel, and they say, boy, it tastes good. It sounds good to go to heaven for all eternity and have my sins and be delivered from hell. And they're just about ready, at the invitation, you know, to step out and come and accept Christ as their Savior and receive Christ as their Savior. They're just about ready to step out. But then all of a sudden, the fear of what someone will think, of what someone will say, maybe a relative, maybe their preacher, you know, where they go to church or something. You know, if you go to the right kind of church, you told your preacher you got saved, they'd be happy, man, you know. But maybe they're afraid. They're afraid of what the preacher, they're afraid of what their mom and dad's going to say. They're afraid of what the person sitting next to them is going to think, you know. And so they let the fear of man, the fear of man displace the fear of God. And they allow that fear of man to keep them from coming to Christ. And they never come to Christ. And that which is going to cause them to be a part of the who's who of hell for all eternity is that they had the wrong kind of fear. They feared what people would think rather than what God Almighty would think and say. Oh, dear friend, I'll tell you something. The Bible says in Matthew 10-28, fear not him which is able to destroy the body, but fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Oh, listen, so many people are going to be a part of the who's who of hell just because they let the fear of people keep them from coming to the Lord. I tell you what, if you're here and you're not saved and you want to be saved, you don't have to fear this crowd. We'd be happy you'd come. We rejoice that you'd come to receive the Lord as your Savior. But you know, the devil is a being that puts fear. He puts the fear of people in your heart. And this is what this crowd is. There are people who are sitting on the edge of their seats. They want to get saved. They're convicted about their need of being saved. They don't want to go to hell. They want to go to heaven. But as they're just about ready to step out and come and let someone take the Bible and show them how to be saved, that fear of man just overwhelms them and they get cowardly. And they don't come. And there are going to be many people like that. Many people who know and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, they didn't want to go to hell. They wanted to go to heaven. They believed that Jesus died for them. But they just let the fear of man keep them from coming to receive him. You see, you got to receive him. It's not enough just to believe that he died for you. You got to have a time and place where you receive him as your personal Savior. I'd never done that. All my life, you know, I went to church a lot of my life, but, you know, I heard about Jesus and I knew about Jesus and I knew he was God and I knew he went to that cross and died for me and I believed all those things, but I never received him. I never received him. No, there was never an invitation given the church where I went to come and receive the Lord as my Savior. So there never was a time and a place when I received him. And I'll tell you something, I would have been part of those who's who of hell for all eternity. See, it's not just believing in Jesus. You've got to receive him. Say, you've got to receive him. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And you know, thank God we have a church here that gives an invitation, an opportunity to receive. We never had that. I never had a church where I went to growing up where they gave an invitation. By the way, that's a way to tell whether a church is a good church. One of the ways, do they have an invitation after the preaching service to receive the Lord? You know, D.L. Moody, he wasn't giving invitations for quite a few years in his ministry, but he'd say, now go home and think about it and come back tomorrow night. Well, he said that to a Chicago, Illinois crowd of people where he's preaching at a revival meeting. And you know what? Those people went home, but that night the great Chicago fire came and those people never came back. And D.L. Moody said, I'm never going to preach again without giving an invitation because you never know what tomorrow holds. My friend, you're going to have an invitation given this after I preach this message, and you can come and receive Christ your Savior, because you don't know what tomorrow holds. You have an opportunity today to receive the Lord. I pray that you will respond and you will receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people are going to be in hell. Why? Because of fear. They let the fear of man keep them from doing what they knew they should do. They let the fear man. They were captivated by, they belonged to the thoughts of people. You know, Herod knew, King Herod knew that he was doing wrong, and it was wrong for him to give that teenage girl, the opportunity to have up to half the kingdom. And he knew it was wrong to, do what, his wife wanted to do with John the Baptist, and that is have him beheaded. But the Bible says he was exceedingly sorry, but, because he didn't want to displease those around him, he didn't do what he knew he should have done. He didn't do what he knew he should have done. And you know what? Herod ended up in hell. You know why? He belonged to the thoughts of his friends. You know, a lot of people know what's right to do, but they don't do it because they belong to the thoughts of their friends. What will someone say? What will someone think? You know, whose thoughts do you belong to? Do you belong to the thoughts of your friends, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, your friends at work? Who do you belong to? Whose thoughts occupy your mind? You know who you need to belong to, your thoughts need to belong to? The Bible, the Word of God. This where your thoughts are. Your thoughts are along this book, say. And so many people end up doing wrong because they belong to the thoughts of their friends. They do what they know they shouldn't do, but because their friends say, let's go do this, let's go out and drink, and let's go out and party, and they know they ought not to do it, and they go out and do it, and they're killed in a car wreck, probably, some of them. Oh, listen, you need to say, I'm not going to care what people think, and say, I want to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to get saved, say. Many people are going to be in the fires of hell because of fear, the wrong kind of fear, not the fear of God. But they belong to fear of people. They belong to fear what they're going to think or they're going to people are going to say. And so because they belong to that fear, they never come to Jesus, never get saved. But there's another crowd of people who are going to be in hell. And the sad thing is they don't have to be there. Jesus died for them. He wants them to be saved. But because they choose, you know, to follow the fear man, belong to fear man, they never get saved, they end up in hell. But there's another crowd that's going to end up, and that is the unbelieving. Look at verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving. The unbelieving. Now, there are two kinds of unbelief that will take you to hell and make you to be a part of the who's who of hell. Two kinds of unbelief. First of all, there's that unbelief that says, oh, there's no hell, preacher. Wow, we're beyond that. You know, hell's just a cuss word. It's just a joke. There is no hell. You know, and so there are people like that don't believe that there's a hell. You know, we're smarter back in the years. You know, that's what they used to believe back there in the dark ages. We're the intellectual crowd. We're the smart people. Do you know what? I'll tell you something. Do you know back in the years, the intellectual crowd, they thought that the world was flat. You know, they thought you could sail so far on the Earth's surface and you'd fall right off because they thought the world was flat. Well, if they'd been studying their Bible, they would have known the Earth wasn't flat, that it's a circle. Bible says in Isaiah 40, God sits on the circle of the Earth. It's right there. Be a lot smarter if you read your Bible. Amen. But see, the smart people believed that the world was flat. Did it change it that it was a circle? Because the smart people believed, the so-called smart, the so-called intellectual, because they believed that the world was flat. Did it change the fact that it was a circle, it's round? It didn't change it. My friend, you can believe all you want to. There is no hell. It's not going to change that there is a hell. It's not going to change it just because you got education or just because you think you're so smart. Oh, I tell you something, my friend. Listen, many people are going to be in hell because they just don't believe there is a hell. You know, there's 27 books in the New Testament. 27 books. And in those 27 books, there's 264 some chapters in those 27 books. And in those 264 some chapters, there are over 234 of those chapters in those 27 books, the New Testament, those 264 chapters. There are 234 that directly or indirectly speak about a place called hell. 234. Now, folks, that's a good number. That's over, you know, I'm not a mathematician, but I know it's over 75%. Now, listen, if I got out here on Interstate 43 right out there, and I was driving down Interstate 43, 27 miles, and there were 234 signs that said, turn around, the bridge is out. Turn around, the bridge is out. Turn around, the bridge is out. 234 signs in a 27-mile distance that said, turn around, the bridge is out. Wouldn't you kind of think that the bridge might be out? I think that's a logical deduction. You know, if I tell you what, if you didn't believe that, I wouldn't want to be riding with you, that's for sure. Oh, I'll tell you something, my friend. The Word of God over and over and over again says there is a hell, and it's real. You know, people say, oh, I don't believe hell's real. Well, listen, I know how you can back them in the corner that they cannot logically extricate themselves from. How's that? Ask them this question. Do you believe Jesus Christ came to this world? Yes. Do you believe that Jesus Christ went that cross and died and rose again? Yes, I believe that. If they believe those two things and they don't believe in a literal hell, you have backed them in a corner that they cannot logically extricate themselves from. You know why? Because all you have to do is say, well, if there is no hell, why did Jesus come? If there is no hell, why did he go on the cross? Why did God allow his son to be brutalized as he was on Calvary? You know, why? There is no explanation. Listen, there is a real hell. Jesus came and he died for that reason, because we are in danger of spending eternity in hell. We have a soul that is cursed with sin, and he died to remove that curse of sin by shedding his precious blood. And dear friend, that's the only way that you and I can get to heaven. We got to have that curse of sin lifted off our soul. And it's not baptism will do it. It is the blood of Jesus Christ shed at Calvary, applied by faith in him as your Savior, that takes away that curse of sin. But many people are going to be in hell because they just didn't believe that there really was one. Some people say, oh, I just believe in what I see. You know what I say to them? I said, have you ever seen your brains? boy, they think about that. No, I guess I haven't. I guess you don't believe you got any then. Oh, I tell you something, my friend. You believe in what you don't see. You don't see the wind, but you believe in it. Amen. I tell you what, it was blowing really bad yesterday. My hair was all over the place. I got very little. It's coming out. My boys give me haircuts. Said, Dad, you're losing some of your hair. I tell you what, that wind blew some of it off, I'm sure. I didn't see that wind, but I sure saw the evidence of it. Oh, listen, you believe in what you don't see. It's just that you don't want to believe what is so clear in the Bible. You don't want to believe what the Bible says. That's your problem. You just don't want to believe what the Bible says. Now, many people are going to be in hell because they just didn't believe what the Bible says. I really believe this, that no unsaved person really believes in hell. They don't really believe in it. Because listen, if you really believe that you'd be in a place of fire and smoke and brimstone where people are screaming and yelling for all eternity, if you really believe that that's where you could end up, and there was a way to miss up a place called hell by coming to Christ, I tell you what, you wouldn't hesitate. You'd run to come to him and be saved. But people just don't really believe. And they, you know, God doesn't make you believe that what you don't want to believe. God's not going to make you believe what you don't want to believe. But I'll tell you something, my friend. Listen, there could be many people in hell because they didn't believe what God so clearly said, the facts He gave us an actual factual account of a person in hell in Luke 16. An actual factual account of someone there. That's not a parable, folks. That's a real factual account of someone who died without Christ. And the moment they died, they're in hellfire. The very moment they died. There's no purgatory in the Bible. Someone sucked that out of their thumb. They didn't get out of the Word of God. There's no purgatory. That rich man died and in hell. He lifted his eyes being in torments. Lazarus died because he was saved. He was ushered into heaven for all eternity. Oh, dear friend, many people are going to be in the who's who of hell because of the fact that they were unbelieving. They didn't believe what the Bible said. And there's another kind of unbelief that takes people to hell, and that is the unbelief that says, well, yeah, preacher, I believe there's a hell because, you know, there's a lot of wicked people in this whole world. Boy, they sure deserve to go there. You know, Hitler, I think he deserves to go there. And you know, some of these other wicked, the ISIS people and all these people running around killing and taking people's heads off. Yeah, I believe there's a hell, preacher. You know, and there's some people that really deserve to go there, but I don't deserve to. Oh, there are many people like that. Self-righteous crowd. Not me, preacher. I'm not that bad. I want to tell you something. I've been saved for almost 60 years. 60 years. And you know what? If I got what I deserved right now, after 60 years of being saved, read my Bible, praying, going to church, all those things I've done for 60 years, you know, tithing and you know, living for the Lord, serving the Lord best I can. You know, all those things I've done, you know, since I've been saved. You know what? I'll tell you what. If I got what I deserved right now after 60 years of memorizing scripture, you know, preaching, you know, I'd go to hell. I deserve to go to hell right now. If I got what I deserved. My friend, if you got what you deserve right now, you'd be burning in hell for all eternity if you got what you deserve. Oh, you say, preacher, that's offensive. That's offensive to me. Well, you know what? I'm not trying to offend you, but it's the truth. It's the truth. You say, well, why do you say that I deserve to go to hell or you deserve to go to hell? You know why? Because of two reasons. Number one, because of what we've all done. This is what we've all done. We've all sinned against God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means all. That's all that all means. It just means all. It means everybody. We've all sinned. Sin is the transgression of God's law. It's the breaking of God's law. And we've all done that. We've all come short of it. Maybe some come a little shorter than others. But we've all come shorter of breaking, of being perfect, of keeping God's law. None of us could ever do it. You know, Bible says all of sin. Bible says from the time you're born, you're born a sinner. You don't sin because you're not a sinner because you sin. You're a sinner because you're born in sin. You're born in a condition of being dead to God. You're born in sin. Say, I deserve to go to hell because of the fact that I have sinned against a holy God. In fact, in verse 22, verse 23, we often overlook verse 22. We know verse 23 pretty well. But verse 22 says, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no difference. That's a powerful phrase. Now, let me illustrate this way. There's some lights here, and they got little chains that are hanging these lights up. You know, little pieces of chain. I don't know how many pieces of chain in each of those things. I'd say there's probably, it looks like about 10 pieces of chain there holding that light up. Now, suppose I go over there and I get a hold of that chain that's hanging from the wall. And let's say, you know, that one of them breaks, you know. What's going to happen to me? I'm going to fall, right? Hello? Anybody out there? Or are you all gone out, left me mentally, okay? I hope you're listening, all right? I'd fall, right? One of those links breaks, I'd fall. I think that's a pretty smart deduction. I think that doesn't take a lot of sense, you know, to realize that. And let's say over on this side, you know, here's another chain. It's got 10 links on it. And let's say that a pastor was hanging. He got out of there and he was hanging there. Now, this is prior to he lost a lot of weight. This is back when he had that extra 50 pounds on. Now, because he'd weigh a little bit more, you know what? Let's say, because he weighed a little bit more, let's say four of those links break. What's going to happen to him? he's going to fall, isn't he? Is there any difference? Is there any difference between the result here, one link breaking and falling, or four links breaking and fall? There's no difference in the result. They both are going to fall. And dear friend, the reason why you and I deserve to go to hell is because all it takes to deserve to go there is just one sin in your life. Just one sin. There's not any difference between sinning a lot as far as the consequence, the eternal consequence. There's not any difference in sinning a lot and just sinning one time. See, there is no difference. No matter how many times you sin, no matter how little times you sin, you still have sinned and you have to pay the result of that sin, which is death. The wage of sin is death, you see. That's why you deserve to go to hell. That's why I deserve. Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there's another reason why we all deserve to go to hell. Why I say that you deserve it. I deserve everybody. You know why? Not only because of what we've done, but because of who we are. We're sinners. We sin because we're sinners. It's easy. It's easy to sin. It's so easy. It's just natural. It's just something it's easy to lie. It's easy to do things, to be proud. It's easy to be proud. Oh, it's so easy to be proud. Why? We've got a sin nature, see? We're born sinners. And we got this sin nature with us. And that's why we deserve to go to hell. In Luke chapter 18, the Bible tells us of two men. One went up to pray. You know, he says, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. He's looking down his nose at this publican over here. I'm better than he. He says, I give tithes. I fast twice a week. I'm not an extortioner. In other words, I'm not defrauding people and overcharging people. He says, you know, I'm not like this old publican over here, you know. He's really in bad shape. He's a real wicked sinner, you know. And so he's this proud guy going up to church. He's all self-righteous. Why? Because he's comparing himself with someone else. You know, we can always justify ourselves by looking at somebody else. Oh, I'm not as bad as he. Boy, he needs to get saved. Boy, that really, I'm not that bad, you know. That's exactly what Satan wants you to do. It's one of his tricks. He gets you to think you're not that bad because you look at somebody else and you say, ah, I'm not as bad as that guy there. He may need to be saved, but not me. See, that's Satan's trick. That's what the proud publican. And the Bible says he went down damned to hell. He went down to his house damned to hell. Why? He was justifying himself. He was making himself look good because he was looking at somebody else who wasn't as bad as he was. And he was justifying himself. Dear friend, and he ended up in hell. Why? Because he wasn't looking where he should have been looking. The publican, however, you know, he, instead of looking at people, he looked at God. And he said, oh God, as he looked at God and he considered the righteous, holy God, as he looked at God, he realized how imperfect he was, how sinful he was. And he said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. You know, he looked at God. You know, we need to come to church and don't look at our friends and don't look at the carpet and don't look at the preacher. We need to come to church and look at God. See God, His holiness. We need to get our eyes off of people, get our eyes on the God of heaven. How many people are going to end up in hell because they're looking at other people and say, oh, I'm not as bad. He needs to get saved, but not me. You need to get your eyes on God and see, are you as good as God? Are you perfect? No, you're not. You know it. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes on God. See how holy he is. And you'll see how much you deserve to be in hell for all eternity. But the wonderful thing is that we don't have to spend eternity in hell. And we can be justified as we look to the Lord and receive him as our Savior. Years ago, there was a story told of the Prince of England. He came down to visit the King of Spain. And the King of Spain wanted to honor him. And so he said, you know, I'm going to take you down to one of our Spanish Armada ships and I'm going to give you a tour of this ship and in honor of your visit, Prince. And so the Prince was excited about it. And they went down to the bottom of the ship where the oars were. Back in those days, they had sails and they had oars. And those who were operating the oars at the base of the ship, the bottom of the ship, were prisoners. They didn't have prisons back in those days like we do. So they would take prisoners and they would chain them to the oars for the rest of their life until they died, based on their crime. And so this prince goes down into this ship and he sees these men who are chained to the oars for the rest of their life for their crimes. And King of Spain says, now, Prince, I'm going to let you let one of these men go free because of your being a guest and my guest. And I want to honor you. And I want you to let one of these men go free, go back to his family, go back to a regular life and just be totally free. And you choose which one. So the prince went to the first guy that was chained to the oar and he says, how come you're here? And boy, this guy looked at that prince and he said, you know, I don't deserve to be here. Man, there are lots of guys that did a lot worse things than I've done and I don't deserve to be here. And he was just filled with an attitude of a total venomous attitude, you know. And so he goes to the next guy and he says, how come you're here? And he gets the same response that he got from the first guy. He goes to the next guy, chained to the oar, and he gets the same response. And he finally gets way to the back and wondering if everybody's going to respond just like this guy, all these other guys have responded. And he goes to the back of the boat and here's this guy and he's sitting there and he says, sir, how come you're here? And that guy got a look on his face and he smiled and he said, you know, I'm just glad I'm here. He said, if I got what I deserve, I would have been put to death right on the spot. He said, I'm just glad I'm alive. Why, the attitude that fella had was so different than all the other guys that the prince looked at him and said, it's a shame that such a guilty man as you should be amongst all these innocent people. You go free. That's the way God looks at people. That's the way God operates. As long as you think, oh, I'm okay the way I am. I'm not so bad. I don't need a Savior. I don't need to be saved. I don't need to accept Christ as my Savior. I'm okay. As long as you say that, my friend, you will never, ever be a part of those who will be in heaven. You'll be a part of those who will be in who's who of hell for all eternity. But if you'll come to that place in your life where you get your eyes off yourself and you get your eyes off of people and you get your eyes on the holy God of heaven who you've offended and you've sinned and you say, oh God, I deserve the punishment of my sins forever. But you can take care of my sin. You died for me. Then my friend, Jesus Christ will give you mercy. He will give you mercy. What's mercy? Mercy is God keeping you from what you deserve. And he'll even go greater than that. He'll give you grace. He'll give you what you don't deserve. But you gotta come to the place where you pull your pride out and you dump your pride and you are willing to admit that you are a sinner and that you need God's mercy and salvation and come to him and receive him as your Savior. And God will be merciful. And he will give you mercy for all your sin and give you the grace that will take you all the way to heaven. Who's going to be in heaven? Fearing people are going to be there. Who's going to be in heaven? Who's going to be in hell? Fearing people are going to be there. Who's going to be in hell? The unbelieving people are going to be there. And then lastly, notice the third crowd of people that are going to be in hell. The Bible says, and the abominable murder, abominable, that's the perverts, sex perverts, the murderers, the Bible says there, and the whoremongers, that's the adulterers and fornicators, sorcerers, that's the drug users, and idolaters, that's people who love money and the things of money and get all kinds of sin going because of their love for money. They prey on people like pornographers and they prey on people to make people spend their money and so they can get rich off that. And the Bible says that all liars, notice that, all liars. You say, well, preacher, I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a whoremonger. I'm not a sorcerer. I'm not an abominable person. I'm not a murderer. But I'll tell you something. All of us fit in that last crowd. All liars. How many lies you got to tell to be a liar? One. That's all it takes. All liars. Didn't say, you know, the big time liars. Says all liars. All liars. Dear friend, I'll tell you something. That is something we all fit in. We've all lied. And we are all sinners. See, this is a sinning crowd. This is a sinning crowd. Who's going to be the part of the who's of hell? The sinning crowd. See, the sinning crowd. Now, knows with me why they are there. Why are these sinning people going to be in hellfire? You know why? It's not because they couldn't have been forgiven of their sin. Listen, there's no sin that anybody's ever committed, whether it be murder, whether it be sorcery, whether it be adultery, whether it be a bomb. There's no sin that anybody's ever committed, you know, in their life, but what it can be forgiven. But these people, these sinning people in hell here, have never came to get their sins forgiven. They never wanted their sins washed away. And I tell you, that's the reason why they're there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible tells us about the church of Corinth. Here were people that were all kinds of sin they were involved in. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says they were thieves, they were covetous, they were drunkards, they were revilers. You know, they were cursing and swearing. They were extortioners. They're effeminate. They're abusers themselves of mankind. They're idolaters, adulterers, and so forth. It goes on. But listen to what it says. And such were some of you. You used to be in that crowd. That's the way you were before a holy God. But now, ye are sanctified. What does that mean? Cleansed. You're justified. What does that mean? Just as if they never sinned. Just as if they never sinned. And just as if they've obeyed God all the time. That's what it means to be justified. You're justified. You're sanctified. You're washed. Washed from what? Washed from all their sin. How? They get baptized somewhere? How'd they get washed? How'd they get justified? How'd they get sanctified? Listen to what it says. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. What happened? They came to Jesus, received a Savior, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed them from all their sin. But these people in Revelation 21:8, they never did that. They died without ever coming to Jesus Christ and being saved for all eternity. Now, who are they going to be with? This sinning crowd knows who they're going to be with. They're going to be with the fearing and the unbelieving. You see, the fearing crowd, remember who they were? They wanted to be saved. They believed the Bible. They believed that Jesus died for them. But they never received Him because they let the fear of man keep them from coming to Jesus Christ. That's the crowd that's going to be with this sinning crowd. Just fearing people. Unbelieving people are going to be there too. You see, the fearing, the unbelieving, and the sinning have one thing in common. They never came to Jesus Christ and received Him as their Savior and their Lord. Now I want to ask you something. Is this the crowd you want to be with for all eternity, the sinning? Do you want to be with the abominable for all eternity? You want to be with murderers for all eternity? Do you want to hang around idolaters for all eternity? Do you want to hang around drug users for all eternity? Is this the crowd you hang around with down here on earth? I don't think it is, probably the majority of us here. That's not the crowd we want to live next door to. That's not the crowd we'd want to have our kids be around, you know? But listen, without Jesus Christ, that's the crowd you're going to be with, not just for a week, not just for a year, not just for 100 years. You're going to be with that crowd for all eternity. Is that the crowd that you want to identify with for all eternity? Or do you want to identify with the Abrahams and Davids and the Moseses and men and women who were righteous and godly and want to do right? Which crowd do you want to identify with, say? It all depends on what you do with Jesus Christ as to which crowd you'll be a part of. Be part of the sinning crowd? Then don't get saved. Be a part of the crowd that is in heaven where there's no death, there's no sorrow, there's no sickness, there's no sin, no heartache, no crime. You know, then get saved. That's the crowd you want to be. You're going to be with one crowd of people for all eternity. And by the way, that crowd's going to be there, but really, it says here they'll have their part in the lake of fire. The part, the word part means their place, their peace. In other words, I think it indicates that they'll be alone. They'll be with this great crowd. There'll be a great crowd of people there, But they'll be alone. There'll be no social life. You know, people say, well, if I die and go to hell, all my friends will be there. No, there will be no social life. How can you have a social life in fire and smoke and brimstone and all the blackness of darkness forever? Nobody's going to be partying down there in hell. And there's not going to be anybody that's going to have a great time with their friends, because they will be all alone. And one of the great, great troubles of hell is the loneliness that's there, because of the fact that we're social beings and we like to be around other people. You know what? People in hell are going to be alone. In the midst of all this screaming and yelling, a great crowd of people, but they can't see them. It's a pitch black darkness. They can't have any parties or any entertainment together at all. They'll be alone for all eternity. Which crowd do you want to be with? The sinning crowd forever? Or the crowd, there's no death, there's no sickness, there's no crime for all eternity? Which crowd do you want to be with? I was in a church in Maryland a number of years ago preaching. And I got there, pulled my trailer in. My wife and I pulled the trailer in. And the pastor came out to greet us. And so we chit-chat a little bit. And he said, Brother Gilmore, he said, there's a lady that's coming to our church. She comes regularly, almost every Sunday. She's more regular than some of our church members, in fact. But she's not saved. She's a refined, dignified, moral lady. But she doesn't know the Lord. And we're praying for her. We've been praying for her. And if she gets saved this week, if she walks down the aisle, you know, and gets saved, there's going to be a lot of just tears of joy as people have been really praying for this lady. And so I just wanted to let you know that she'll be here in the morning and the evening, and she'll be here the rest of the week because she comes to all the other services. But I just wanted you to know, if that lady comes, there's going to be a lot of joy and a great happiness if she comes. And so sure enough, on Sunday morning, there she was. I preached the message, and Sunday night she was there. Monday night she was there. Tuesday night I preached this message. And as I preached that message and she saw who she was going to be with, I mean, she was a moral, nice, clean cut lady, well dressed, and she saw who she's going to be with for all eternity. I want to tell you something. I gave the invitation to come and accept Christ, and that lady slipped right out. She slipped right down, and she came, and someone took the Bible and showed her right from the Bible how she could never be a part of the who's who of hell. And I'll tell you something, that lady was gloriously saved. You know why she was? She saw who she was going to be with if she didn't get saved. She saw the crowd she was going to be with. She said, that's not the crowd I want to be with. And she repented of her sins and got saved. The who's who of hell. Three kinds of people that will be in hell: the fearing, the unbelieving, and the sinning. Would that be you? It doesn't have to be. Jesus died for you. He wants to save you. Will you come to Him and say yes to Him? And He will say yes to you. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for Your word. I pray You'll take the truths of Your scripture today and apply them to every heart and every life, Father. I pray that You would stir hearts to see their need of being saved, those who may be here without Christ. Maybe they've let the fear of man so far keep them from coming to Jesus. Lord, I pray that they will realize that can be such a soul-damning thing. Help them to fear God. Help them to fear not being saved, because to not be saved is to be cast into hell for all eternity. Lord, I pray You'd help them to say no to the fear of man today. And then, dear Lord, help them to say no to their unbelief. Lord, that they might believe what the Bible says and come and receive Christ. And then help them to say no to the sinning crowd. That sinning crowd that they're hanging on to, that they want to keep. Lord, they're going to hell. Don't let them want to be a part of that. I pray that they would come and get new friends, godly friends, people that love the Lord. And I pray that You just work in a mighty way for the glory of God, in Jesus' name and for His sake. With their heads bowed and their eyes closed, the pianist comes and gets ready to play our invitation song, number 249, in the song book, if you would. That's the blue book. Number 249, as she comes and gets ready to play that song, let me ask you a question. How many of you know, if you were to die right today, you'd go to heaven and not to hell? Now, wait a minute. I didn't ask if you think, or you maybe, or you hope. How many say, preacher, I can give you a Bible reason why I know that. If you can say that honestly, truthfully, where you're seated, would you slip that hand right up there high and hold it there? Just lift up high. Just lift there. Don't lie. Please be honest about it. We're not going to embarrass anybody. Just lift up high. All right, Jimmy, put it down. I wonder if there's someone here tonight, today, who would say, Brother Gilmore, you know, I couldn't really raise my hand on that. I really don't know that for sure. I don't want to be a part of the who's who of hell. I really don't. I want to come to Christ. I want to receive Him as my Savior today. I want to know I'm going to heaven, not hell. If that's you, would you lift that hand high and hold it for just a minute? Just lift up high. Yes, God bless you. Someone else say, Preacher, I want to know that. Here's my hand. Would you lift it up high? Yes, sir. God bless you. You may put it down. Thank you. Anybody else, lift that hand. Say, Preacher, I want to know for sure I'm going to hell and not to, going to heaven and not to hell. Pray for me. Pray for me. Here's my hand. Anybody else along with this one? Anybody else quickly? Just lift up high and then take it right back down. All right, let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and no one's looking around. And the pianist is going to begin to play the invitation song, number 249, in just a moment. And as she begins to play that song, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, now you raise a hand. You said, I want to know that for sure. As she begins to play it, I want you to do this. Would you slip out? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. But you raise a hand. Would you slip out and come meet the pastor right here in front? As she begins to play right now, would you just slip out? If you said, I want to know that, preacher, would you come right now, just right down this aisle, meet the pastor right here. God bless you, sir. Someone else, just come right from where you're standing.